Well, we're going to start our prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit, that the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that is here, because say where two or three gathered in your name, you're in the midst. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, you are here. We ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, you have your way tonight. May we have hearts to receive what the Spirit is speaking to us. I thank you, Lord, that people will receive what you have for us tonight, and they'll leave here not the same that they came. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, this tis the season, and unfortunately, you notice Dwight's not back there. He's under the weather, and we've had some kids, I know, under the weather here recently, and you know, if you happen to have the news on, you hear, you know, the flu's a big time going around, and this and that, and I just happened to see another little COVID advertisement today, and so, you know, boogity boogity, you know, they're trying to get that sickness is all around us. So I thought it'd be a good time, and especially since I experienced a good healing here a couple of weeks ago, it might be a good time to refresh and look at the healing power of our Lord. And, you know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So my hope is that we build up our faith a little bit as we look in God's word and look at what the word says about healing. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good, everybody say doing good, and healing all, you know, all means all, in every language, all means all, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God's not going around putting sickness on people. Despite what some maybe religious people might say, that, you know, God, you know, God just put this on them, trying to teach them a lesson. That's not true at all. God is not the author of sickness. It says right here, he went around healing all that was oppressed of the devil. So we know that he's behind sickness. But be of good cheer, people, because he's already been overcome. Jesus is overcoming. And I just want to look at some here. You know, Jesus always made the comment, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we can look in the Bible and see the heart of the Father by seeing what Jesus did while he was here on this earth. And as we're going to see tonight, he went around doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. So let's look first in Matthew, and I'm going to use the NLT, and this is actually the yearly Bible. If you haven't started that, if you didn't get that, I definitely encourage you to do so. Started there January 1st, and this isn't a one you want to bring to church and try to follow, because it's about impossible to do that. But I brought it just for a couple of things here, because I like the way it's worded in the New Living Translation. We're going to Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to begin in verse 18. You know, I want, you know, God has healed me multiple times. And if he can do it for me, he can definitely do it for you too. And I am a firm believer, you can't talk me out of it. I know that God heals. And I hope before the night's over, you have that understanding and you know that is true also. In Matthew 9, verse 18, as Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died. He said, but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hands on her. So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Get out, he told him. The girl isn't dead, she's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put aside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. Then right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. You know, they said, they come behind and said, have mercy on us. Jesus didn't ask him, well, what have you done? Have you been good? Did you sin? No. He just asked them, do you believe I can do this? And they said, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were open and they could see. It goes down there to verse 32. Then when they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon. And then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, he can cast out demons because he is empowered by the prince of demons. And there comes the naysayers. When you're believing for healing, you're going to have some Pharisees come into your life. Maybe your family, your friends. You're believing for healing, and they're going to come in and say, that's not so. You know, you will have Pharisees come beside you and try to talk you out of your healing. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Well, it's obviously, while Jesus was walking this earth, he was in the healing business, right? Let's go to look at another one, Matthew 9, just to go back here to chapter 1. You know, that's the thing. You're going to have people, because, you know, faith, when you're in faith, you believe it before you see it. So, you know, if you're walking around with a broken arm or something in a sling and you're telling the people that God's healed you, and they're going to think you're nuts because, you know, your arm's in a sling or something. But that doesn't mean he can't heal it. But you will have naysayers come along and try to talk you out of your healing. If your knee's bothering you and you're walking around limping and saying, God's healed me, people are going to say, well, you're nuts. Why are you limping for then? Faith calls those things to be not as though they were. We'll touch on that some more here later. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for giving humans such authority. Now, when I first time I ever came across this scripture and saw that, I said, which is easier, to forgive you your sins or to say stand up and walk and heal this man? Now, this is what I thought when I first saw this, and this is not what this meaning is in the context of where this is, though, but it made me think. You know, that's one thing. You can get in the Word and read something and see something, and it'll make you think about certain things. And I thought about it when the first time, and actually every time I see this and read it now, I thought, you know what? That's just like people. You know, they can believe and have faith that their sins are forgiven. They can say the prayer, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and, you know, believe in my heart that, you know, Jesus died and rose from the dead and making him Lord, and they can believe that I'm forgiven, now I'm going to heaven. They can believe that 2 Corinthians 5, 17, now I'm a new creature, you know. But when it comes to healing, they act like that's maybe too hard for God. But think about it. If he can recreate your spirit, man, and you have a new spirit living inside of you, eternal life now just happens to be inside of you, and you can have faith to believe that, and now you're on your way to heaven, why can't you believe that he can recreate your body? I mean, what's he? It's like a mechanic. You can have faith. Your car breaks down. Your car doesn't run. You take your car to a mechanic, and we all have done that. And we have faith, you know, that mechanic's going to fix my car, and it's going to run and be anew again. Well, Jesus is the great body mechanic. I mean, if he can recreate your spirit, man, make you anew, how much easier would it be for he created this body in the first place? So why can't we have faith for his healing power? I mean, I don't know. That's just, the first time I came across that and ever since, I think that. Well, gosh, if he can make me a new creation, why in the world couldn't he heal my body? I mean, which is easier? Maybe that's just me. But I there's so many people out there, though, they can believe they're forgiven. They can believe they're a new creation. But sometimes when it comes to healing, they just don't have faith and believe that God's able to do that for them. All these things, all these people that he just healed, I just read about, there's one thing they had in common. It says, he told them that their faith made them whole. Because of your faith, you're healed. Let's look at some more here. In Matthew 8, and we're going to go to the King James now, and I don't apologize for it one bit. Matthew chapter 8, I'm telling you guys, Jesus can and he will heal. Chapter 8, verse 1. We'll go 1 through 10, and then we'll jump. Matthew, yeah, we're doing a lot of Matthew. We're staying in Matthew. Matthew 8, chapter 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thee clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, "See that you tell the man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and after the gift Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." which that's what they did back in the day. They had to go to the priest until. And when Jesus was entered into the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, sometimes we think, well, and we know Jesus can, but will he? Well, he will. He's telling these guys, I will. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So this centurion, he thought, God, all you got to do is say it and it's going to be done. He understood the authority that he had. And that makes me think, you know, we have authority, you know, parents, you have authority over your kids, don't you? So I'd say that you have the authority to pray over your kids and pray for healing and so that they can receive healing. Just speak God's word over. Verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as you have believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laden sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and started serving them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out his spirits with his word and healed all, there's that all again, that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken in Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. They're found in Isaiah 53, and then you see that in 1 Peter 2:24 also, that by his stripes we were healed. So it looks to me like when Jesus was here, he was in the healing business. I think it's pretty undeniable that he went around healing people. I mean, and this is just a few. This is just a few things. I mean, there's probably just thousands upon thousands of people that got healed under his ministry here while he was here on this earth. We just know a little bit. And you might think, parents, you know, I said something about you have authority, and say, well, no, wait a minute. This is Jesus. Of course, you know, Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can do whatever he wants. You know, it's Jesus. We don't have that kind of power. We can't do these things. Well. You know, and this is too, really, this is in Matthew, so we're still under the old covenant. So let's go over into the new and see what happens. So well, wait a minute, before we do that, let's stay here in Matthew. Let's go to chapter 10. Before we get into the New Testament. Now, they say, well, Jesus can do this, but we'll see that he gave this authority to his disciples, 12 disciples. Matthew 10, chapter 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness in all manner of disease. Then verse 8, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, okay, you may be thinking, okay, well, this is the 12 disciples. You know, I hear religious people talk about, especially lots of things about disciples. Well, you know, the disciples did that, you know, but, you know, this, that's not for today anymore. They really love to use that on speaking in tongues, but we know better than that too. But that's a whole nother sermon. So, let's go to the New Testament. Because, you know, maybe you're at the point, you know, you believe Jesus can do it. While he was here on earth, you know, he could heal. Okay, he gave his disciples authority to do that, and they went around, they could heal people. Let's take a look in the New Testament. So let's go over to Acts. See, I'm like the pastor, I got a fancy tablet. Yeah. I think it's actually Amazon. So we can look after, you know, when Jesus left this earth, after his death, his burial, his resurrection, went up, seated at the right hand of the Father. We can take a look here in the New Testament. Now remember, too, in the New Testament, tells us there in Hebrews 8:6, says that we're under a better covenant established on better promises. So I would think if healing was accessible under the old covenant while Jesus was here, it's surely got to be as good and better under the new covenant. And Jesus said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. So I think we're still experiencing him wanting to heal us. Acts chapter 6. Let's go there. And we're going to, let's look at verse 1. 6:1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So here they are, they're trying to spread the word and teach the word, but they're busy also serving these widows, serving these tables. So they think they need to gather up some other people to take over that job. So, wherefore, brethren, look you among 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. So they're wanting some people to serve the table so they can spend their time ministering the word. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministering of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte and of Antioch. And I probably butchered all those names. Me and Joe was just talking about that before service. You know, today's reading in your yearly Bible had a whole long lineage of people. And how you pronounce them name, maybe we get to heaven, we'll figure it out. But I, they set them before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, these were ordinary people appointed to serve tables, just like, someone that's just like you and me. Maybe you're serving your church. Just like Brian back there, playing his bass on the worship team. Just like Dean back there, running the sound for Dwight today. Just like Miss Deb back there, she's going to, after service, go back there and clean some toilets. Just ordinary people serving. It says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. just ordinary people. Well, what are those great miracles? Well, I'm guessing he went around doing some healing. Let's look at what it says about Mr. Philip there. You just stay there in Acts and go over to chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 5. People started out just serving tables. My first job was cleaning toilets at a church. Here I am standing before you preaching at church. Humble beginnings. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Philip, guy that just started out serving tables, going around and people healed. Now, they're not doing it in their own power, of course. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. They're doing the healing. I couldn't heal a fly, but Jesus can through the Holy Spirit. If you have faith to believe. You know, faith is simple. Sometimes we try to make it complicated, but basically faith is just trusting God that he will do what he says he'll do. That's about it in the simplest, most simplest form. Oh yeah, we got formulas, you know, you need to say, you know, you need to speak, you need to do this, and so on. And there's something to that, and we might get into that here a little bit. But really, simple faith, and, you know, Jesus said to have childlike faith. Tell a child something, he just believes it. I was just foolish enough to believe that Jesus could heal me. Word tells me he heals. So why can't he heal me? If he can recreate my spirit, man, give me eternal life, why in the world couldn't he heal my body? Why do some people, though, not get healed? I don't know. I'd be a fool to stand up here and tell you I know. I don't. I know people, I've had relatives standing in faith and had cancer and believed God could heal them, but they passed away with cancer. Why didn't they get healed? I don't know. Some say, well, they just didn't have enough faith. Well, that's pretty much hogwash, I think. I don't know. But, you know, that's between them and God. I know it's God's will that they be healed. You know, some people, you know, it's, you know, smoked for years and years and they decide, you know, gosh, you know, and they're getting this bad report that they're going to die because they got cancer and tell them, you know, well, you know, you need to quit smoking, but, you know, well, I'm believing God and they keep smoking, you know, so I don't know. I don't know why good things happen to bad people other than we're in this decayed, sinful world. And bad things do happen to good people. But that doesn't mean God's word's not true. Why didn't my sister-in-law get healed? I don't know. I know she's in a better place now. That I know. She was a believer. She wouldn't want to come back here for nothing. But I don't know. But I do know a couple of things that can hinder our faith. And let's look at a couple of them. I'm not saying this is what happened to the people that didn't receive their healing, but there are some things, because it says their faith has made them whole. And I do know that it tells us there's a couple of things, and this is just a couple I chose out of here, that tells us that will hinder us when we're believing. And one of them is in James chapter 1. And verse 6. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waver is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, that's why I think it's so important to be, to be on the offense, to be prepared maybe all ahead of time before you get sick. Read about his healing. Quote healing scriptures, meditate on his healing scriptures, thank the Lord for your healing, even if you don't have anything wrong with you. Because when you're sick and you're feeling that pain and you're down in the dumps, it might be a little difficult to, we've all been sick. You feel miserable, right? It's not fun. So proactive, that's the word I wanted to say. We need to be proactive. Just came to me. We need to be proactive. Say, I thank the Lord every day. In the mornings when I go, before I go to work, I thank him for healing in my family's bodies, my body, and even if I don't feel like there's anything wrong with me. Be proactive, because it's sure easy when you're in pain and hurting to think, I'm trying to believe, but, I'm still hurting. I'm in pain. And that's you're being double-minded. You're not being healed. That's why us people that are in faith, they might think you're crazy. You're saying that you're healed when obviously it doesn't look like it or feel like you are. But there's just something about that. And we'll hear more about that here in a bit. Mark 11. I think they got to the game up there, because I'm hearing a lot of laughter and stuff going on there up there now. Mark 11:22. Oh, my goodness. If you've been here any time, you've heard this time again. Down at Ramah, we heard that every day. Mark 11:22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Some say, have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And that's usually where we leave that laying there. And we shout and joy, say, holy, thank you, Lord. We're going to get what we believe. We're going to get what we say. But let's continue. Verse 25, it says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, or, you know, this lame story, if you have unforgiveness for anybody, that your Father also which in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So unforgiveness, guys, can be really detriment to our faith and for us to receive anything from the Lord. I mean, good grief. If he can forgive me for my past, I should be able to forgive anybody, whatever they do to me. I mean, what's the matter? I'm not hurting anybody by not forgiving them. Doesn't mean, you know, they hurt me and they're bad for me. I don't have to hang out with them, but I can find forgiveness in my heart for them. Just like Jesus, you know, when people that took him to the cross, forgive the Lord, for they don't know what, they know not what they do. People have hurt you, they really don't know. You may think they know what they're doing, but really, if they've done something that bad, they're just under the power of the enemy. So unforgiveness, being double-minded, can be ways, you know, that we could think that, you know, maybe we're not receiving our healing. Now let me say this, too. Don't be like some people who made mistakes. Say, well, you know, they got some kind of sickness and they're just going to believe God and then, you know, it gets worse and, you know, they're going to say, I'm never going to a doctor. I'm not going to go see a doctor. And some people have found, have made the mistake in not doing that. And, you know, they didn't get their healing and they died because they just simply didn't go to a doctor that could have helped them. So I'm not saying we don't go to doctors. God can still use doctors too, give them wisdom and give them, you know, the know-how on how to fix something. But I am still convinced that you can be healed by faith. See it throughout the whole Bible there. But, like I said, some people don't receive their healing that are believing. I don't know why. But this is what I do know. That God's will is to heal. That God is able to heal. Nothing's too big for God. So I tell the kids, good God, bad devil, big God, itty-bitty devil. And he didn't have anything authority over in your lives, including sickness, unless you open the door to it. Sometimes it's just being stupid. I mean, like a night tonight. If you're going out in shorts and short sleeve shirt and run around, and you might accidentally get a, you know, you might get a cold or something and get sickness. This is all something I know. God has healed me. Now, if you weren't here last week, you got to hear my testimony, but if you weren't here, I would call miraculously healing. Second time he's done that for me. Now, for weeks, I was having problems with my knees. I mean, I always had a little bit, which he kind of, I don't know why. I mean, I know he's in the healing business. You know, sometimes you know God can do this for you, and it takes a while to come to yourself and realize that, oh yeah, why wasn't I confessing this or talking about this before? But, you know, I always, I've had three knee surgeries, just torn meniscus, nothing major. And the second time I had it on my left knee, the doctor said, you know, you had a little bit of arthritis, looked like starting in there. So, you know, once in a while, my left knee, I would have some, you know, pain. Every once in a while, it'd come and it'd go, and not a real big deal. Well, then it got to be a little worse, and then I started having pain over my right knee. And then I started having much pain down in all my leg, all down here. Then started some more in this leg. It got so bad that I just could not hardly get through a work day. I mean, I'd get through, but man, I'd be in pain. Just hurting all the time. Just constant. Just getting miserable. And then, you know, when you're sick, when things like that happen, guys, the enemy likes to come in and, you know, get you a little fear going there. It's like, I was kind of like, man, how am I going to, am I going to be able to continue to work? Am I going to have to change my work ways or something? Gosh, here, you know, I'm at the age, I'm thinking retirement here sometime, but I got a little ways to go. And it's like, I can't retire now, you know, I got to keep working. And you start, you know, worry comes in. And I tell you, I was feeling so miserable. And I tell you, I was almost think I was getting in depression too a little bit. It's just like, man, this is just terrible. Well, I think mainly I owe it to this book right here. And started the yearly Bible, actually. Because we were just going, those verses I just gave you out of Matthew, was reading through that, I was thinking that, like, what am I thinking? Gosh, God healed me in the past miraculously. It's like, why am I putting up with this? And so I go to work, I'm in pain, I'm doing my job, but man, I'm in so much pain. But I'm just thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, you healed me. Boy, you made the lame man walk, the blind man see, the leprosy gone, and oh, thank you, Lord, you're my healer. Thank you for healing my legs. I thank you, Lord, that I'm whole from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. I just kept confessing that. While I'm in pain, thank you, Lord, you've healed me. Thank you, Lord, you healed me. Keep doing what I'm doing. You know, faith is action work. Faith is a verb. Verb, it's action. If you're healed, you need to be acting like you're healed. I'm going on about my business, thanking him that I'm healed. Boy, it's going on. That one day, I was just into it all day long. And as the day goes, I'm actually starting to feel a little better. Starting to feel better. And, you know, by the next day, it's gone. I don't have no healing. I mean, I'm just, I can run now. I couldn't run for nothing. I'm still not the best runner at my age. But, you know, at work sometimes, you know, I'm really moving fast when I run, but I couldn't do it. But praise God, he healed me. I'm fine. These past 2 weeks at work has been, well, as much nice as work can be. It's been really nice feeling like, you know, Superman again. Because, you know, I'm Superman. I thought I was Superman. But when this is going on, I feel like I'm a 90-year-old man. It's kind of like when I sold my testimony there. I was kind of like, I got back into the, which some of you weren't here when I used to do that, but I dressed up as Super Incredible Faith Man. I said, so I had to be Super Incredible Faith Man, get my faith out there, and God healed me. I'm still healed. I'm great. Now, as I said there, the enemy will come, boogity boogity, after you get healed. He will come and try to put it on you. Like I told there last week, that night I had a dream, a nightmare. I mean, it was like a something from hell. And I woke up, and man, I was in pain again, real bad pain. I just lay there, nope, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Nope, Satan, you get behind me. And just flowed, went away, and I was fine. I got up. But he will try it, because he did it back when I got healed the first time of a miraculous healing. That was 22, 23 years, something like that, years ago. I had a heel spur. And if you ever had a heel spur, that is not fun. I mean, you can't put weight on your heel. It's just like a major pain. You can't walk hardly on it. Well, I'd go and get cortisone shots. They stick the nice little long needle up your heel and shoot your cortisone in there. And, you know, after a little bit, after you got over the pain of someone sticking a needle in your heel, you'd get better, but it just come back. You have to go to the doctor again. So you get a shot. I ask the doctor, well, how do you get rid of this? Well, you're not going to get rid of it. It's just going to be there. It'll just come and go. But says you're not going to get rid of it. Says there is one way. Says you can have a certain surgery done. Says, but I wouldn't recommend it. Says, but you know, it's just something that you're just going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. Just, you know, it'll come and go. Well, one night there at church, we had a praise and worship time. Just musicians is up there, and we just praise and worshiping all night. And I almost didn't go because, man, I was in such pain that night on my heel. I didn't want to go to church, but, well, you know, it's where I probably need to be. So I go, and I'm like, I can't walk. I'm in just like, it's hurting. And the pastor there says, this is not this church. This is your church I was used to go to. Rhema grad. He was a Rhema church down there. It's actually names at the time. It's not there anymore. But we're just a praise and worship. And the pastor says, you know, the Holy Spirit, the anointing is here to be healed. If you need healed, just reach up and receive your healing. Call me naive. I just thought, well, that's me. I'm just going to receive my healing. Thank you, Lord, for receiving healing. And, you know, it just went away. Yeah. Is there any testimonies? Anybody receive their healing? I go up there on the stage, and I receive my healing. I'm just stomping my foot on the deal, just doing my heel, and stomping. Went away. Instant healing. That made me a believer. That's when I first knew that God was my healer. That, to me, was a miracle. All I did was believed. I was just naive enough to believe that, man, God's word is true. He's a healer. He healed them, he can heal me. He's a big God. He created everything. He's the Lord of all. He created me. Why in the world couldn't he heal me? I am nothing special. If he healed me, it's, you know, it's a good thing, just like those guys, have mercy on me. It's a good thing the Lord didn't say, well, what have you done in your past? Do you deserve to be healed? Oh, yeah, the devil could talk to me out of it big time. You don't deserve anything. Look what you've done, what you did in the past. That's the old man. This is the new man. Mark 10:27 says, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. First John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the things that we ask of him. If it's according to his will. I hope you've seen tonight that healing is according to his will. Jesus said, I will Oh yeah, I will. I will. I will. And he did. I've come to find out that is this right here is truth. God's word is truth. Doesn't matter what the world wants to say. Don't know. No matter what the naysayers want to say. If God said he can do it, he would do it. He can do it. You know, some people think, well, the face of form, you know, I got to say it so many times, you know, and then you finally do it. Now, yes, you know, a few weeks ago when I was dealing with this, yeah, I was speaking the word over the situations and giving him glory, thanking him for before I ever seen the results, thanking him for my healing before I ever seen it. Because, well, Hebrews. One more. Well, I'm sure I've drug this long enough for Amy now, maybe. But let's go to Hebrews. Let me find it here. This is the last scripture. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I hoped that I was going to get healed. I was having faith and believing that I have it before I saw it. Good God, bad devil. Big God, itty bitty devil. I'm not going to let that devil in my life give any sickness or disease among me. You know, something too that's good is in, maybe Miss Deb can help me. Which Psalms is it? Do you remember, Deb? Miss Lynette Hagen. Like to use for a flu shot. It is no. Hey, you're a Rhema grad back there. You should know this too. is it 93? 91. There you go. That's it. Well, let's just read it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, which is any deadly, overwhelming disease. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall he trust, his truth and the shield of buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that walks in noonday. 1,000 shall fall at the side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. That's just a 10. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me, in all my ways. Hallelujah. And then at the very first, or last verse, 16 says, with long life will I be satisfied. And he was so satisfied me, showed me his salvation. Old Miss Lynette down there, she'd read that. It's called our flu shot. Well, praise the Lord. I hope you got something out of this. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to say a general prayer because, you know, where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst. The Holy Spirit is here, and he's willing and able to heal. So if you have anything in your body that's affecting you, I just want you to just have faith that he's able to heal you tonight. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you are Lord over all, over sickness, disease, over everything. And you're a loving, loving Lord. Your will is that we all be healed, healthy and whole, from the soles of our head, the top of our head, soles of our feet, the top of our head. I say, Lord, each and every person in this room can receive that healing now in the mighty name of Jesus, that's above every name that is named, above the name of cancer, above any disease, anything there, any aches, any pains, depression, anything that they're lacking. You can heal them now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for and give you the glory and honor and praise you for healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, pastors, they'll be back here next week. So make sure you come back. Get some good word. Yeah, see you around.